They're wonderful. We're so lucky. We're so lucky.
And it is my absolute thrill to be the one to introduce our guest speaker today. Although she doesn't need all that much introduction, right? I mean, she's been truly a friend of Vision, and many of us have known her way back, whether it was the 15 years as founder of Pacific Church, or the last 10 years as the community spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living. And now she is sharing her gifts of inspiration and high consciousness as an international speaker and facilitator, teacher, counselor. And personally, I just want to say that she has a very special place in my heart and in my life. She was the one who introduced me to religious science 25 years ago. She married my husband and me, and most recently, she's been my mentor through my ministerial studies. So she's just very dear to me and just such a wonderful guide. I feel so blessed. So please help me in welcoming Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's so great to see all of you here. New digs. Yay. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, and I can already feel the change and expansion that this new place is meaning to Vision. So that is so wonderful, and it's your own place. And as wonderful as the other one was, it's really nice to have your own place. So it's a really, really good thing. I approve. Stamp of approval. So the talk for today, and I'm going to try to navigate around this poll here, but the talk for today is what is. And I'm speaking into Reverend Patty's theme of the riddle of simplicity, which is a great title. And my understanding of that is that simple is simple and complex at the same time. But I wanted to begin by saying that I have discovered power in my own life, and I think it would be powerful for everybody. There's power in life. When we deal with what is, when we actually face what is, the people, places, and things of our life, the conditions as they are, and see what needs to be seen, and speak what needs to be spoken, and take the action that is ours to do, as opposed to evading, avoiding, withdrawing, fleeing, fainting, or any of those other kinds of behaviors that we can do. So take a breath if I'm already pressing into something for you, and I hope I am. Or when we pretend that something that exists doesn't, or we pretend that something that doesn't exist does, or we procrastinate. Let's see, what else was on my list here? Delay, deny, procrastinate, operate around the proverbial elephant in the room, hoping it will all go away. Did you follow all that? Okay, good. Oh, yeah. Okay. And all of that creates tremendous loss of energy for us in our life. All of that creates a tremendous loss of energy. And the truth is that we are all generators of our conditions. As much as we would like to hold that there are things greater than we are that are totally in charge of our lives, maybe you don't ever have that thought, but sometimes I do. We are all generators of our thought, of our conditions. We have something to do with what is going on in our lives. Whether we're experiencing a great degree, whether we're in the feast of good that we're enjoying, or we're in the soup of trouble, and I don't know why I have food metaphors today, but anyway, we've had something to do with how our lives have unfolded. It hasn't been strictly an agency outside of us that is doing it to us. And so it's really important that we honor our creations, that we see what is, that we honor what it is that we have brought into being, and that if things are working really well and we like what is there, that we acknowledge that and say yay, but that also we acknowledge ourselves when things aren't working as well as we want them to be, because that's our growing edge. That is the place where we're leaning into the greater experience and expression of life. And there's something called the law of responsibility, which says you can only change that which you take responsibility for. In other words, you cannot change something you think you have nothing to do with. If you think you have nothing to do with a problem in your life, you're not going to be able to affect any kind of change. It's just the way that it goes. It didn't just happen to you, it's happening through you. And honoring the what so about that is how we begin to gather the power to actually generate the change. And so there's a call here to see that what is, and to deal with it. And there is also a call here beyond what I like to call the non-productive uses of fantasy. I'm not talking about the fun fantasy, I'll leave that to you, okay? But I'm talking about the non-productive uses of fantasy. By the way, I have stories and readings for you today, so just open up and let it all in, okay? So I'll start by sharing this little story. It comes from the realm of deep story. It isn't a cheery story, but it's also not a real story. In other words, it's not a literal story. It's a metaphysical, metaphorical story. And I actually remember this story from when I was a little girl. It's called The Little Match Girl. Remember that fairy tale? So in the deep version of The Little Match Girl, there is a girl child who is without mother or father, and she lives in a deep forest at the edge of a village. And she's discovered that she can go into the village and buy matches for a half penny each and then sell them for a penny and therefore make some money by which she can buy some bread and take that back to her little lean-to in the forest. So when the story picks her up, it's in the winter. It's cold. There's snow on the ground. And she's wandering the streets seeking to sell her matches, and nobody is buying them. She's cold. She sits down. And she realizes, I have matches. I can light them and get some fire from this, get some warmth. And so she begins to light successive matches. And the first one that she lights, a beautiful vision comes about. And she sees a warm kitchen and a lovely green ceramic stove with beautiful scroll work. And then suddenly the match goes out and the vision is gone and she's back in the snow. And so she lights another match, and she keeps lighting matches, and with every lighting of a match, the vision grows. So then she's seeing a Christmas tree with beautiful ornaments, and this tree is reaching up into the stars, and that goes away. And then she lights another match, and suddenly her grandmother is there, just so warm, and her grandmother wraps her in her beautiful shawl and holds her. And she keeps lighting the matches to keep her grandmother there, and eventually they go off into the sky together. And the little girl is found the next morning, cold and gone. I said it wasn't a cheery story. But the opportunity here is to look at our tendency to strike the match of fantasy, to not deal with what is actually in our life, but to perhaps create fantasies or live in fantasies instead of really taking the action to create what it is that we want. And we can do this in all areas of life. And what I'm about to speak to, I have lived. So we can get ourselves involved in relationships that we know are really not the best for us. And, or we can stay over long in a relationship and keep trying to contort ourselves this way and that and be a different kind of person or try to change the other person. That works well, doesn't it? You know? So, you know, that's all at the level of fantasy in many cases. Or we can carry on with financial patterns, spending money we don't have, not waiting to have the money before we purchase something, all of that kind of thing. Or we can do it on a physical level where we keep maintaining physical body practices or habits that do not support the truth of our wholeness. I leave it to you to look at your own life to see where this might be so, but it can happen in any area of life. And the problem with this is that it does not allow us to harness the power that we have, to actually go deep into the truth of who we are, contact our wholeness, and contact our ability to bring forth a powerful degree of change. So what is in your life, but what is has complexity to it. That when we talk about what is, we're usually talking about the surface level, and the surface level of what is whatever is the current arrangement of your circumstances or situations, right? But under that, what is has to do with your feelings about how things are. And what's under that are your perceptions, your thoughts. And what's under that are the beliefs that you carry about carry in life about yourself, about God, about life itself. And then under that, way under that, is this deep divine dimension of your being that has never been hurt, harmed, or touched by anything that has taken place. That is a primary science of mind principle. That is one of the best things we've got. That way underneath, way in the essence of you, there is the spiritual reality of you that has not been hurt, harmed, or touched by any circumstance or situation. And so when we talk about dealing with what is, it's about dealing with all of that, because all of that is so. It's important for you to understand the perceptions that you have and how they've been born out of your feelings and how way under that are these deep beliefs that you've been carrying for a really long time that may be limiting you powerfully. And their beliefs that the child mind in you created. And all of that is changeable. But it's not to stop there. It's to realize that truth of wholeness, of power, of beauty that lies at the very depth of your being, because that is really where change begins. So it's not about treating yourself only as a surface life phenomenon or a surface phenomenon. So when I was thinking about this talk, there was a little phrase that came to me from a reading, and the phrase is the tiniest house of time. Any of you know that one? It comes from the poet Kabir. And the point that I'm wanting to make here is that God is in it all. That God is in it all, from the surface to the depths. That's really all there is about life. And here is the reading. Kabir says, "Are you looking for me? I am in the next seat. My shoulder is against yours. You will not find me in stupas, not in Indian shrine rooms, nor in synagogues, nor in cathedrals, not in masses, nor kirtans, not in legs winding around your own neck, nor in eating nothing but vegetables. When you really look for me, you will see me instantly. You will find me in the tiniest house of time." Kabir says, "Student, tell me what is God. He is the breath inside the breath." So I'll read it again. "Are you looking for me? I am in the next seat. My shoulder is against yours. You will not find me in stupas, not in Indian shrine rooms, nor in synagogues, nor in cathedrals, not in masses, nor kirtans, nor in legs winding around your own neck, nor in eating nothing but vegetables. When you really look for me, you will see me instantly. You will find me in the tiniest house of time." Kabir says, "Student, tell me what is God. He is the breath inside the breath." And so the understanding here is that we don't meet God just in spiritual spaces. And we don't meet God just in spiritual practices. And we don't meet God just in some finer hour than the one that we're in. The truth is, God, Spirit, is in the tiniest house of time in every single nanosecond of your life. Kabir didn't know that phrase, nanosecond. It's from, I think, the 16th century. Spirit, God, is right in the person whose shoulder is near or next to yours. And so I invite you to look at the people on either side of you. And if you get a back of somebody's head, just wait a moment. They'll turn around. But now do it again more slowly, and I invite you to look into their eyes and smile knowingly. Spirit addressing spirit. Spirit acknowledging spirit. And just take a moment and feel your breath. And spirit is right there. Spirit is the breath inside the breath. I love that image. So to live what is to engage in all levels of your being and all levels of reality at the same time. To not just stop with the surface problems or challenges that you have going on. But it is to work the system and the depths that you are as a healing event, as a way to understand how your conditions have been born out of limitations, beliefs and limitations, and all kinds of things. It is to realize that every single challenge or problem is a doorway into the divine for you. It is an opportunity for you to awaken to a greater degree of your wholeness, your power, your beauty, your joy, if you will use it in that way. If you don't just stop with the problem as the problem, but actually use it as a doorway into a deeper place and into a truer life. And so there's a reading by the Sufi poet Hazaret Inayat Khan. He said, "I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to learn to solve. I asked for prosperity, and God gave me a brain and brawn to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed." Want to hear it again? Say yes. Okay, good. "I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to learn to solve. I asked for prosperity, and God gave me a brain and brawn to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed." I think that's good. So there's a teaching. Well, let's see. I'll do this story first. There's a Zen story called The 84th Problem. And it's a story about a man, a farmer, who went to the Buddha, and he asked the Buddha to help him with his problems. He loved his wife, but, well, she wasn't quite the way he wanted her to be. And he was really fond of his children, but they weren't doing what he wanted them to do. And his farming wasn't going so well and all of that. So he came to the Buddha, you know, bringing his life there, saying, "Help me." And the Buddha said, "I don't think I can help you." And the farmer said, "Wait, you're the Buddha. What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I really don't think I can help you." And the man said, "Well, what good are you then?" And the Buddha said, "Well, hold on just a moment. The truth is, we all have about 83 problems. I can't help you with those. But I can help you with the 84th problem." And the man said, "What is the 84th problem?" And he said, "The thought that you shouldn't have any problems." Now, that is a Buddhist Zen, this is a Zen story about working with what is. It's not really a religious science idea, because we do have a tenet that says we believe in the complete emancipation from discord of all kind, and that this result is sure to be attained by all. Ernest Holmes wrote that in What I Believe. We believe in the complete emancipation from discord of all kinds, and that this result is sure to be attained by all. I will tell you, in 1980, as a beginning religious science student, that hooked me. I thought, if this is telling me I can go to the place of joy and bliss, I'm getting on that path, which is why I'm here today. So, and I do believe that that's true. I believe that as we walk the spiritual path and do our learning and do our awakening, that we will come to the place where we have less trouble and more joy, because it's been true in my own life. When things happen, they're usually really big, but they get over a lot faster. So, and that's a good thing. That's another talk. Let me come back. So we're on a pathway to moving in the direction of oneness and joy and peace and all those qualities of God. And we can tell the truth that along the way, there's a lot to walk through, yes? But each and everything, each and every circumstance that you have actually generated out of your own life experience gives you the opportunity to go into that deeper, deeper place where you learn something truer about who you are and what your life is, where you let go of the false and you claim the true. And so Emma Curtis Hopkins does this really beautiful teaching that is the first miracle that Jesus did. I'm so glad. Who are you guys? Andy and Nathan saying, bringing Jesus into the room. But his first miracle, and by the way, religious science began, or new thought began, with people trying to recreate the miracles that Jesus did. That's how our movement began. And so the first miracle that Jesus did was was at the marriage feast in Cana, and it was the changing of water into wine. And the situation, it was a party. He was always partying. I like that about him. And the situation was the wine had run out, and his mother came to him and said, "What are you going to do about this?" You know. So people say, good Jewish mother going to the son to get him to, fix a solution or something. Anyway, I don't know. But so Jesus took the 6 stone pots of water and blessed them, and the water was turned into wine. Jesus did what he always did, which is he took what was at hand and he transformed it. So when he did the feeding of the 5,000, the loaves and the fishes, he took the loaves and the fishes that were there and praised them, and they multiplied. He met up with Lazarus and took Lazarus the way that he was, all dead and moldy, and praised the miracle-working power of spirit, and the story is that Lazarus came back to life. And whether these are true literal things, they are wonderful metaphysical teachings for us. And the teaching here is that you are to take your rough circumstances as they are and to know that spirit is right in the middle of them. And so I invite you to close your eyes for a moment. This is not the end of the talk. This is a healing interlude, but close to the end. So just close your eyes for a moment and breathe into your heart center. And let your inner self bring up into your awareness something that you consider a rough circumstance or a challenge, a difficulty, whatever it might be, and just take whatever spirit dishes up right now, right now. And just take a moment to see it as it is. Not wanting it away or wishing it away or skirting around it, but just embrace the reality of the situation as it is in this moment, as neutrally as possible. And place it within your heart and place your hands on your heart, if you'd like to do that. Whether this is about finances or a bodily condition, about a relationship, anything in your human affairs, in this moment, let what is be what is, and just feel it and see it. And now please repeat after me this affirmation. I give thanks, knowing that within this circumstance is the transforming power of spirit, and that the water of this situation is turned into the wine of peace, health, love, abundance, and success, and so it is. And so we're going to do it 2 more times. I know it's long, but you'll get it. 1 for spirit, 1 for mind, and 1 for body. Here we go. I give thanks, knowing that within this circumstance is the transforming power of spirit, and that the water of this situation is turned into the wine of peace, health, love, abundance, and success, and so it is. And 1 more time, like you really mean it. I give thanks, knowing that within this circumstance is the transforming power of spirit, and that the water of this situation is turned into the wine of peace, health, love, abundance, and success, and so it is. Excellent. And so Emma would say that conditions are given to us, and I would say we generate conditions in our life to show how powerful spirit is in dealing with us for our great increasing joy. Because it seems to be so that we dish up conditions just so we can get the deepest possible healing. At least that's been so in my life. And it is about taking your circumstances the way they are and see them for as they are and do the deep work to reveal something greater and truer. So every single moment is a doorway opening into the divine. Every single situation that you have is a gateway into a greater healing process and an understanding with the great possibility of revealing more wholeness, health, peace, joy, and all the other qualities of God. If you are generating the conditions, you may as well use them well, right? Who was it? Rahm Emanuel said, a good crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And that's the truth. A good crisis is a terrible thing to waste. So this is what I know. I know that you are not your achievements, your successes, and your attainments, as wonderful as they are. I know that you are not that. I also know that you are not your mistakes, your missteps, what you consider your failures, or any of your challenges in this moment. You are the living one of the living God. You have been born from the One. You are here to carry all that God is into infinite expression. You are here to live a life of wholeness and joy, and you are on a pathway to do that. And the opportunity here is to just do it deeply, to embrace what is as that which is on all levels of your being, and especially work to bring the deep truth of your wholeness into expression. And so I'd like to complete with this reading, so I invite you to shut your eyes. Shut your eyes, close your eyes, that sounds nicer. This is from Hafiz. Now is the time for you to know that all that you are is holy. Why not consider a lasting truce with yourself and God? Now is the time to understand that all your ideas of right and wrong were just a child's training wheels to be laid aside when you can finally live with veracity and love. Now is the time for the world to know that every thought and action is sacred, that this is the time for you to compute the impossibility that there is anything but grace. Now is the season to know that everything you do, everything you are, is sacred. And one more time. Now is the time for you to know that all that you are is holy. Now, why not consider a lasting truth with yourself and God? Now is the time to understand that all your ideas of right and wrong were just a child's training wheels to be laid aside when you can finally live with veracity and love. Now is the time for the world to know that every thought and action is sacred, that this is the time for you to compute the impossibility that there is anything but grace. Now is the season to know that everything that you do and everything you are is sacred. And so I invite you to take a nice deep breath into your heart center. Allow your energy to come up. And let's live what is. Thank you.